those are people who love God. They don't find any small excuse to miss the service. And God will reward people according to their attitude to God. You see, there are people who the church is always the first thing to sacrifice. Not party, not family visit, is always the church. Some people sacrifice the church even to watch football match because it's more important than anything else. You know, a few weeks ago, I asked this question. What makes you joyful? What's the biggest thing that makes you happy? Is it God? Is it the fellowship with the brethren? Is it worshiping God? Or you have other things in between? If there is anything in between you and God, the bad news for you is that is called idolatry. Because God is to be above anyone, anything. God. If you put anything, you love anything or anyone above God, that's the definition of idolatry. I remember someone, a pastor, who was saying these kind of things, and one senior lady sitting at the back of the room became very depressed and she couldn't take it, and she raised a very feeble voice. She said, "Does that include my grandchildren?" Grandchildren are a great blessing. You can't stand between them and the grandmother. Praise the Lord. What are we doing this morning here? You see, Jesus Christ, you read a lot about Jesus Christ, the things he did to people, the good he did to people. And we tend to focus on the things he did, raising the dead, healing the sick, and so many things. But Jesus Christ's main work was to teach people about God. To teach people the thing of God. Because we take it for granted that, okay, we know God, okay, we know God, we can just go on and following the motion, etc. No, Christ understood that. And he took time, a great part of his life, teaching people. So did the disciples and the apostles. Teaching people the thing of God is very important. Those who attended the Bible class yesterday, we studied, we learned all the stumbling blocks. People that, things that stop people from having a correct understanding of God's word. Therefore, you have a lot of distortion, you have a lot of, you know, funny and strange, you know, approach, and everybody coming with one. God said this to me, God said me to that. They contradict each other. The Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself because of lack of teaching. And the problem, do you know that when I visited Greece, I discovered, well, I knew the definition, but when I visited Greece, I found another dimension of it. When they talk about Jesus Christ's disciples, they say, Jesus Christ's student. Because that's what disciple means. So you heard a lot in the church, there's no discipleship. Do you know what people mean by discipleship? You have to call them 10 times every day. You have to, but they don't want to be taught. Discipleship is primarily a teachability. Let's say that. Attitude. So they refer to the disciples of Jesus as his student. Where the great apostle John was teaching, he formed students who will then become teachers. Teaching is very important in the church. You know, we don't just come here to sit down for us to tell you how beautiful you are, how you need to top up your self-esteem. Now, we are here to point you to Jesus Christ. He is our model. And to equip you in your journey to heaven. We did not become a Christian, you know, in order for all of us to have 10 limos and things. No, we became Christians to go to heaven, to be saved. Why am I saying that? You see, in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22, we found something of a discipline there. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, to persevere in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we should enter the kingdom of God. That's the preparation the believers were given upon becoming Christians. You see, the cross is not an advertisement of a fanfare. You see, the cross, which is the symbol of Christianity, is a place of suffering. That's why Christ said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. But we've made it to become something else, you know, a fanfare, a place where people come, you know, to give offering in order for them to be blessed in return. It's like in a field, you know, you sow peanut, then you have more. And people are quite happy to teach that kind of thing. You see, when you are a Christian, this is what you have. Your wife will be the most beautiful than others. You have all, we will all become CEOs. We all become, you know, high executive, you know. If that's the case, the bad news for you is that the unbelievers have those things sometimes more than us. Does that mean they are more blessed than us? That's the wrong message we're sending out. If we're preaching that false gospel, then an unbeliever who is looking, he said, why should I go to the church? You know, I pay them. They are my employees in my company. And they're telling me if I come to Christ, I will be rich. But they are my cleaners. So we're sending a very distorted message. Unbelievers need to see in us something that they can never fabricate, something they can never acquire by their own effort. They need to be challenged by your holiness, by your salvation, by your deliverance, by your love, reverence, and praise to the Lord. They cannot buy that. If we don't do that, then we are trapped. And we wonder, how come people are not coming to church? But we're saying in the church that come to Christ will be the richest person, and they have all, and we are their cleaners. Can you see how unreasonable that kind of message is? Doesn't the Bible say, blessed be the God, our Father, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all kind of blessing in the heavenly places? The unbeliever don't have that. They cannot buy it. That is for the believers in Christ. Then, God raises his reign, his son, on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you invest, you do a good business plan, you will earn money. That has nothing to do with becoming a Christian. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So it's fake to tell Christian, come, you will all become rich, you know, you will have five times twins if you don't have a child, that's false hope. Well, God in his mercy gives us those things. In fact, the Bible says, in vain you wake up early in the morning and you sleep late. You stay up till late and you eat the bread of affliction. God gives the same to his beloved one while they sleep. It means while they rest in him. And God blesses the works of the hand. Because they commit whatever they're doing unto his hand, they serve him, and God watch over them, and God provide our need. He provides today, we rely on him for tomorrow. There is a song that says, one day at a time. And the Lord said, do not be too much concerned about tomorrow, because you can't add an inch to your life by being worried all the time. Trust in the Lord. The opposite of faith is fear. You remove God from the equation, you remove faith, you are visited by fear in great measure. And then you see anxiety. God is no longer enough. What is left is psychologist. And there is a bill by direct debit. Loving Father, we bless you this morning as we come to look into the scripture, O God, to strengthen, Lord, our souls in the things of God. And Lord, we pray that the holy, eternal, loving, and spirit of the promise, Lord, will help us to continue in the faith, to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. As it is written, my righteous shall live by faith. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Teach us your ways. Raise up the weary, the concerned, Lord. Those who are down, raise us up, Lord, that we may continue to persevere, running in the race that is set before us. We pray that, Lord, you will refresh each heart. You will revive each spirit, and you will restore every soul for your name's sake. We give you glory and we give you praise. We rely on you and we trust you. May your good spirit sustain and uphold us to the glory of the Father. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So we finished the series on the wisdom to wisdom. That's finished. Again, quoting a good sister, say we finish wisdom to wisdom, we can now go back to foolishness. We're going to give a standalone teaching today. Whether it's a teaching or a preaching, I'm not quite sure. Let's see how it goes. And then after this, God willing, we will start a mini-series on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, books of John. And then after that, God willing, we will start another series on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, we talk about the spiritual gift and all the chaos, charismania, all those kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. So today, divine rest of your soul. Divine rest for your soul is the topic today. Can we stand up respectfully and read together again Psalm 23 together, please? Psalm 23. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. Have you noticed that? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. It says, those who praise the Lord shall remain in his house. You see, then you get trouble because you see people who say they've been Christians, they've left the church, they become blasphemers, enemies of the believers, and you say, oh, you see, they've lost salvation. No, they were never Christians in the first place. The Bible says they left us because they were with us, but they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they wouldn't have left. I was in the church in North London with a man who was, I'm not going to say his title, lest you recognize him, but he was a man. And he was extremely, uniquely, stubbornly rude. Hold your breath. Bible teacher. He would not listen to anybody. Even when he was wrong, he was teaching heresy. And one day we called him, you know, the council of the church, the elders and the deacon, and we call him and we say, Where do you read in the Bible that people can take the mark of the beast and get away with it and go to heaven? Where did you see that? He say, that what I see according to my understanding, we were sitting around the table with the senior pastor there, and we said, no, it's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. And he stood up and he said, that's your view, I have my view, thank you very much, goodbye, and left the church. Because he was being corrected on heresy. Guess what? 3 days ago, I've been given a picture. I can show you the picture, I have it. He's taken a picture, the picture is on Facebook, with the biggest glass of beer, not even wine, beer, there. And he's happy on Facebook with his children. I took the picture, I sent to a senior pastor who used to oversee us. You see? Now, such person will go around telling people, oh, you see, people will say, he's lost his salvation. There was nothing. And you could discern that by seeing his behavior. What is happening now is just the fulfillment of what has never been there. Be careful. The believers were comforted and taught and exhorted to persevere in the faith. We need perseverance. It's one of the greatest needs in the church, to persevere. There is something called churchianity. There's something called feel good, you know, show time for the sheep, all those kind of things. Seeker sensitive, you know, people come, they expect you to tell them how beautiful they are. We're coming to tell you how beautiful Christ is and his salvation. We're in trouble. The church, the body of Christ, has a problem. Everybody knows everything. Nobody wants to be taught. Yet clearly, nothing is working. People are all over the place. People know everything. Bible says God gave ministries unto edification of the body and for the equipping of the saint. Are you a saint? Do you think you can be equipped? Or do you think you know everything by yourself? That's a negation of the order established by God. Then you hear people, it doesn't matter if you don't go to the church, you can do your church yourself at home. What about the fellowship with the brethren? How do you celebrate that? How do you share the Holy Supper with people? How do you do all kinds of things? How do you apply and manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit yourself? You see, you become your own benchmark. You become your own measuring rod. Do you understand? You do your own thing and you become very nervous. You know, people speak of not stepping on anyone else's toes. You find those kind of expression. No. We have to wake up. Thank you very much for, you know, all just courageous and reminding people. The church is not the building. The church is people redeemed by God. And we strengthen one another as we come. Yesterday we were in the back room for 4 hours. Just studying the things of God. 4 hours here. And we had our senior people as well, who could be resting. But they came to sit down. 4 hours. Young people choose football match. They won't miss any. But not God. Do you know what? We even need to beg people these days to come to the church. We need to beg people to come to prayer meeting. Can you believe that? That's quite serious. Didn't the Lord say, my house will be called the house of? The house of prayer. And we're begging believers, please can you come to pray? Please can you do this in the church? You know, please can you? And then, you know, I've been a Christian like you for a few years now. You know, people who despise the church, when you see them coming back, usually the enemy, that's how you know. You know, I know that. Brother, he can have a quick word with you. And that's the person who is not active in the church, who disappears when they come. I used to call them flashing Christians, you know, like the headlight of the car. Bah, bah, bah. you know, they appear, they disappear for a while, they appear, they disappear. There's no consistency. You know, when they come, you know they're going through challenges. You know, the brother, can I have a word of prayer with you? That's the only thing that brings them in the church. No, we come to the church in a good, in bad day, it's rain, bad season, we come to the church. When you give your life to Christ and you love and serve Christ, guess what? You don't need drama. Do you know what I mean by drama? When a tough time comes, you don't try to impress God with fake fasting. You just pray as normal. So did Daniel. He continued as normal when the king had decreed whatever he decreed. The Bible says Daniel, who was praying about 3 times a day, just continued as normal. He didn't have to come with an emergency plan now because the house is burning, you know, to seek to impress God. You know what God does when you do that? Ha, ha, ha. You remember me now. But David, that's David. A man after God's own heart, when things were tough and the enemies were all over the place, David said, Lord, do the dead people worship you? Ha! What did he have in mind? Isn't the same David who danced publicly for God until his wife despised him? Now, he doesn't have time for drama. He just reminded God, God, you know me. When I have strength, your enemies are automatically my enemies. God, would the dead people worship you in the Sheol, God? Ah, a man after God's own heart. A man who knew and lived for God. The reason there are so many dramas, you know, I'm fasting now, I'm fasting, is just because there's a little thing not working well in your life. We don't see that in the Bible. We see people fasting to humble themselves, to seek the will of God, to humble and repent before God. In fact, in the Bible, fasting and humbling before God is almost synonymous. Love God and serve God while you're still strong. Serve God. Look at this brother here. You know his voice. He read scriptures to us. He prayed. He prays in tongues. He's happy. He's delivered. He's free in the house of the Lord. And then you have younger generation who cannot even say amen. You say amen. Cannot even pray. Now, do you remember that passage? If in time of peace you so weak, what would happen in time of war? If you're so weak now, what would happen when tough time comes? Then we cry out to God. Well, God, we say, okay, yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you. Serve God. Love God with all your heart. Serve the Lord. While it's still daytime to serve the Lord. Yes, there is an element of duty in serving the Lord. There is an element of passion and love and obedience to God. But there's also an element of anticipation, expectation for a heavenly reward as well. On that day, God will reward. It will not be a reward delivered to you in a sealed envelope, a special delivery with your name signed for. No, it will be given publicly. By publicly, I mean all the believers of all ages and time will be there when God calls your name in front of everybody. You know, the Abraham, the Paul, the Peter, all those big, the William Carey, the Hudson Taylor, the Livingstone David, all those big Christians there, they will be there. And then God calls your name. And you have to stand before all those people. And God will say, okay, let's first me start by showing you everything I gave you when you became a Christian. Then we'll come to the assessment of what you've achieved, what you've done with that after. And then God will show you, I gave you this, I gave you this, I gave you this, I gave you this, I gave you that. Okay, now let's turn to the moment of in front of the whole eternity of people there. All the big people you know. The Daniel, the Joseph, the Joshua, all those. And God said, it's your time. Hola! Come. I can say hola because he won't be offended. If I say someone is against me. Hola, c'est votre tour. Come here. X, Y, Z, this is what I gave you. Now let's look at what you've allowed me to do with your life. Friends, wow, we become Christians. Let's walk with a vision of heaven. God is building his church with the believers. You see, we are living stones, being both tools and material in the building up of the spiritual house of God. Who do you think is going to do it? We all work, some of us 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day. Some are busier than others. I know you, I know how busy you are. Everybody is busy. Guess what? Bad news for you. In the olden time, in the Old Testament, there was no Sunday, because Sunday comes under the Roman Empire with Constantine. That where Sunday come. But they were working 7 hours a day. Yet the Bible says they persevere every day to the temple in prayer, in the breaking of bread, in the doctrine and the fellowship of the brethren daily. And they work every day. But we have weekend. We can even take time off. We can even have flexible hours. What do we do with the extra thing? What do we do with that? Serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not deceive yourself. Serve the Lord. It's good to say, I know this, I know that. How much of that do we put into practice? You know, everybody knows everything. You know, you talk with people, the level of knowledge that is out there is frightening. But how much of that do we put in practice? Well, there's no point saying, I have a big farm, a big field, if he's not producing anything. There is a story in the Bible where the worker came to the farmer and said, look, this plant here just wasting space. Then I'm going to cut it, remove it, and plant something else, you know, to use the space more, you know, earnestly, more profitably. And the owner said, no, try to do something around it. Give it another chance. Maybe it will work. That's what God is telling you this morning here. God is giving you an opportunity to put order in your life. To not deceive yourself with philosophy. To stand up and to serve God. And to love God and to obey God. And to run and to ask him to grant you. And for you to live an obedient life of holiness. That's what makes a difference between us and the non-believers. The things of God. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Adonai is my shepherd. Adonai is my shepherd. We shall not lack the things he knows that we need. That's what it means. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows what I need and will supply. Not what I want. What I need. He sees your heart. He knows exactly what you need. You see, the heart is incurable, is deceitful. He can deceive even ourselves. But if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. He will give you exactly not just what you want, but what you need. Because he sees in your heart what you need. I remember many years ago, a good sister of mine in the Ivory Coast, and she was praying, and she had a choice to make between two brothers. You know, they were both coming and say, "Oh, the Holy Spirit has shown me that you will be my wife." And this brother comes as well and said, "The Holy Spirit said to me, you will be my wife." And she said, "The Holy Spirit." And everybody were coming, you know, I had this dream, I saw you, you know, this one, I said, we were exchanging ring, and that one, we were like a dove flying, and this one, and she became very lost. And then she said, I think at this point, I can't ask God any more discernment. I'm just going to present God my own criteria and ask God to make it plain to me. That's the only way I can know that is God has spoken. And this is the criteria she gave to God. Now, Because she said that to me afterward. She said, Lord, give me an opportunity to see any of those men when they are sleeping, even if it's in the bus, wherever it is. Because the desire of my heart is to have a husband who is a champion snorer. That I won't have any doubt of whom you're going to appoint for me. When I visit them, where we are in the bus, just make sleep fall on them so that I can test. You see the desire of the heart. You're laughing because people have different, etc. Well, I don't know what happened later. And another lady, she said to me, she said, in the same situation, and I said, but that brother there, he seems to be godly. As we prayed with us, that one seems to be godly. But that one doesn't seem to love God. She said, but I have a problem. This one here, it's too soft. That one is a dictator. My character, I want a dictator. So may God... People have different way of praying. And God eventually gave her the desire of her heart. The Lord knows our needs and he will attend to it. The Lord decides and direct us to the place he will safely and gently meet our needs. He feeds, guide, and shield us. It is what I call a 360 degree care. Notice, we are the sheep of his pastures. What are pastures for? What are they for when it comes to sheep? To do what? To eat, to feed them, yeah? Ah, that's very interesting. You know, if you are a sheep from God's sheepfold, you feed on his green pasture. Because he has carefully selected it for you. He knows the direction where the green pasture are for you. You know, he leads you beside the still waters, not rushing and troubled water, still waters. Water. I have visited the county park in Bedford. Oh, still water. So beautiful. And I think that our little one even recited there some, you know, 23 there. Still waters. Not rushing waters. Not troubling waters. Because the Lord is gentle. He's kind with us. If you're part of his sheepfold, you feed on his green pastures. The word of God. The heavenly manna. The word that saves us. The word that will give us what we need to strengthen, to be established, built up, grounded, rooted in the things of God. If you despise his green pastures, you replace that with your own reasoning and philosophy, it will be misery upon misery upon misery. You will never know the joy of the Lord. And we have our beautiful song. For the friendship of God is for those who fear him. So we choose the fear of the Lord. He leads us beside the still waters and restful waters. Then he restores my soul. You see, the soul, your soul, is the real you. The soul that sins will die. In Genesis, God formed us out of the dust of the dust of the ground. And then he did what? He breathed into our nostrils and we became living souls. King James Version. We became living soul. In other version, we became living being. You see? Being soul. Your soul is the real you because that is the seat for your emotion, for your intelligence, for your will, even it all in your soul. When things start going funny and then you start going astray, diverting, straying from God, and you cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. This cannot come from you. And the Lord is able to restore your soul. He restores souls by saving people for eternity. But he also restores souls when you're straying from him. Oh, let me share something personal with you. You've ever heard the devil suggesting things to you, yeah? You know that experience, yeah? Okay, good. But I've had one this week very persistently, every day. Do you know what it was? Gee, what are you doing with your life? You were supposed to do a doctorate by this time. You were supposed to emigrate with your family to Canada for a better life. What have you done with your life? You don't have time anymore. What have you done? And persistently, the same. I wake up the same. I walk the same, the same. I said, this is not the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't talk like that. No, 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 no. The shepherd does not talk like that. This can only come from the enemy. Trying to send his dart to shoot at my heart, to discourage me. You know, you're not progressing the way you intended to do. You're not doing this. You know, what have you done with your life? You will never do doctorate. You're now about 60. What have you? All those kind of things to make me depressed, to make me ashamed, to make me feel sorry for serving God. Huh. And then the good shepherd whisper, gentle Savior, give reward. I am with you. To the end. Continue. And I say, oh, yes. I recognize the voice of the enemy by heeding my Savior. Because the voice of the Lord, the Savior, is the voice of encouragement. Exhortation. This one is condemnation. You've messed up your life. You know, you're not making any more study academically. You intended to do this and that and this. And this. So many things passed. I look there. And I hear the gentle Savior saying, no. Those who are of Christ hear the voice of the good shepherd. That's the way you can discern the voice of this one and push them. He shows you your past, you show him your future. And we are encouraged to serve the Lord. And we wake up, we say, no. Jesus is with me. Jesus will sustain me. He will help me. And we move forward. Oh no, and then you hear then you hear people as well, you know, like Job's comforters as well. Oh no, you know, you need to pay attention, you don't sleep enough. You say, I say that's not your problem. If I die, it's my problem, it's not your problem. The Lord gives strength, he gives rest to those who are his. You sleep 5 hours, he multiplies, it becomes 15. And you wake up and you stretch, and those who sleep the nice 10 hours all the time, back. Hey, I've been sleeping, you know. You need to sleep 8 hours, and then the first few, and we are healthy because of God. 5 hours, 4 hours, it doesn't matter. We sleep in Christ. Now I'm not asking you responsibly to imitate to me. I'm just telling you my experience. That's all. God is good. He restores my soul. And when we are down and you have in the multitude of my anxieties within me, complete the sentence, your comfort delight my soul. Psalm 19, 94, verse 19. In the multitude of the issues and concern and anxiety, your comfort delight my soul. And Psalm 23, he restores my soul. That's why we can laugh and we are happy. And you who is using your own time for yourself, you're always miserable. There's not the joy of the Lord on your face. You always, in spite of all the money in the bank account, you're never happy. But God gives the joy of the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm not scaring you. I'm not making you depressed. I'm not scaring you. But if I can achieve that, praise be God. If we can achieve this morning to make you run with the Lord and have the Lord being effectively the Lord of your life, that you may love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, praise be God. The day will come where you will seek God. Lord, help me. The Lord will say, why? I'm going to help you raise you up so that you will become even more rebellious again. Now. But you see, when you serve God, and then you are tired, and then you are sick, on your hospital bed, you don't need drama. You don't need drama. The Lord knows why he allows that. Because he knows what you do with your time when you are well and fit. There's no time for drama. It's just normal life. The Lord is my shepherd. He also restores our troubled soul because he is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. However, the initial relationship with Adonai must be clarified and established. You see, before he restores your soul, he leads you beside the still waters, and he has to be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the starting point. And then you start journeying with God together in your path. And he will lead you. He's a faithful Lord. He knows your need, your fear, your anxiety. He knows all that. He will hold your hand and say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help you. I will uphold thee with the righteous right hand of my righteousness. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put not your trust in humans, in your network. You see, I had a friend in Africa. He said to me, these big people, the ministers and the professors, etc., he says they seem to always have minimum 4 to 5 solutions to any problem that comes their way. Because they can just press the mobile phone and they know the chief constable, you know, they know the chief lawyer. They seem to have all the solution. And we struggle just to resolve a small problem. But the Bible says, let's see if they can resolve the problem of sin as well. Actually, many of them are really miserable. Really miserable. They can't sleep. They are fearful all the time. But we lay down and we sleep in peace. For he alone gives us safety when we sleep. We lay down, we sleep, we wake up because he sustains us until we see him, to be with him forever. Never to depart again. So the disciple taught these things to the believers. They strengthened their souls. You see, as I'm talking to you, you are being strengthened in your soul. You're thinking, okay, what I'm going through, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord knows my need. The Lord will help me. He knows everything. That's what I'm trying to do here. To put all your trust in God. The initial commitment you've made to God by entrusting him, by trusting him, by giving him your life, that's a good starting point. Then continue. Continue. Don't give up. Continue. It's not easy. Do you know that some of us were thrown in lion's den for not recanting their faith? Do you know that? Why would you give up? Why would you go back? Like a dog to go back and eat what they have vomit. Why? We are the sheep. A sheep is clean. Sheep means probatum. You know, moving forward in a firm foundation. You know, following the sheep. The shepherd. Follow Christ. Cry to him. Ask for help. Help is there. And then he has left the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you orphans. We send you a divine, a holy, the comforter, the paracletos, the Holy Spirit. And then you have the comfort offered by the holy word of God. And then you have the blessed hope of his coming that sustains you. You're living towards something. Your life is not without purpose. You're not just waiting the grave and the funeral service. No. You're waiting to meet the creator of the universe, to be with him forever. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. Cry to the Lord. He will help you with solution. He will help you. He will help you. It's not easy. But with Christ at hand to help, to guide, to direct, to bless, to protect, we will make it. You see, I've heard quite a lot of discouragement in the body of Christ. You know, people telling other people, oh, you know, slow down. You know, there are people who were on fire like you and they ended up sinking. I used to say, well, why do you think I should sink? Why? But what about those who have made it with God? I am on that side. Why are you scaring me? You know, be careful because, you know, one day you will leave the church, one day you will fall in sin, so don't talk about sin because other preacher did that. Well, that's your problem. You know, Christ will sustain every believer to the end. Don't be scared. It's not your life, it's Christ's life in you. He holds it, he gets before the Father, and he says, here I am with all those you have entrusted me with. He's a faithful God. The Lord is the good, great, and chief shepherd, who has also called and established local shepherds to feed his flock. Whether in Israel or in the church today, God has established ministries to do that work, to feed the flock, to give them the right word of God, so that the souls will be nourished and strengthened. But will the sheep take it? Will the sheep accept that in order to grow, to be healthy in the Lord, to be established in the things of God? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, we have a hint there of good shepherd. 1 Peter 5, 2, a good shepherd guides and protect the flock. He exercises oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. That's the reason why God has established. Okay, let's read that together. 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 5. And we read from verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lord over those entrusted to you, but being example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 5. And Harry had read that before. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the job description of local shepherds. To do that work. Because there are wolves, roaring lions, everywhere, to teach the people of God how to discern the good shepherd, how to be faithful to him, how to resist the work of the enemy, and cling on to the Lord until he returns. But will the flock understand and discern that? But the local shepherd as well have the expectation, anticipation of the coming reward as well. We don't want to miss the reward as well. We want to hear the voice of the Master saying, come, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of your Master. And I pray the same for each one of you, because most of you here serve the Lord in this place. You want to hear on that day the righteous rewarder who is able to assess fairly and godly your work since you became a Christian, and to reward you accordingly on that day. If you are discouraged, think about these things and be encouraged. I've just shared with you something personal of the kind of struggle we're going through every day. You see us standing here, you think, oh no, they're just talking. No, we are under attack. The devil is discouraging us. And then you have people sometimes from the church itself discouraging us. We need to say, no, I'm not coming that way. I'm busy with God that way. We go through that every day in standing before you. And you, the people who serve the Lord's table, the musician, they have to prepare all these things. You know, they have families and the devil is attacking them. You know, why are you doing that? You don't have enough time with your family. And they say, no, my Master first. It's a struggle every day. Pray for those who serve. Pray for them. Paul is not ashamed. He said, pray for me. Paul is saying, we're not almighty. We frail, we feeble, we even weaker than you sometimes. So pray for us. You know, it's been said that when people complain about their pastors, it's been said, rather than complaining, pray that the Lord will give or make the pastor to become a pastor according to your heart. And the Lord will give you the desire of your heart. Next reading, Acts 20. Remember, we're talking about the shepherding here. Act 20. And we read from verse 28 to 30. Act 20, verse 28 to 30. This is Paul talking to the elders. But before I say that, the passage we've just read with you in 1 Peter, have you realized that it was Peter himself who wrote it? But he called himself an elder amongst other elders. You go and say that to universal pastors. Go and call them elders. They will kick you out of the church. They have a planetarium, universal, supersonic, cosmic ministry. You can't call them elder. No, that's finished. That's for the small people. You know, they come up every day with new. They finish all the four ministries. Now they need something a bit more special. Do you know what they come up with? Daddy. Daddy. Yes, that's how they call now. Daddy. In America, daddy. Sorry. Let me not lose what I'm talking about. I'm just saying you how people want to look special. They're coming up. Oh, no. You know, there was a time where pastor. Oh, no, there are too many pastors. They came up with apostles. All of them became apostles. All of them. You know, and then prophet, you know, because with prophet they can squeeze in a bit of mysticism and witchcraft, you know, in revealing to people their life. All of them are prophet, all of them. Prophet. And now that is no more, it's too common now. They need something new. Daddy. And when they get in the church, they came in the church, when everybody's sitting down already, the service has started already, and then they get to the church with someone carrying the Bible for them. And they curse the believers. And the believers so intimidated, you know, because I'm going to curse you. You know, in fact, Benny Hinn said, whoever questions his ministry, I put him under curse. Wow. Doesn't the Bible say, not by compulsion, no, willingly, according to God. But he cursed anybody who will question his crooked ways of doing things. He cursed. So you call the believer, they sit down, you open the Bible, and you start cursing them, and they say amen at the end. What God is that? So in Africa, believers are so intimidated with pastors. They fear to be cursed. That witchcraft. Now, the believers need to be led gently with the word of God and make them have them to make a decision to reach their own conclusion. But you have to give them what will help them in their decision making and work with God. Okay, we're going to stop there. Which means there will be a next part of this. Good. Praise the Lord. But let me just make my main point for today, because I don't want to go with that. The main point of this teaching today was actually Matthew 11, 28 to 30. But we will look at this next time. But I don't want you to go back home without realizing and being reminded that Christ is calling you, if you are heavy laden and cumbered with loads of care, is there and is promised you, you will find rest in him. You got to stop fighting yourself when there is help. The Lord said, come to me, you all of you who are tired, weary, heavy laden, come, learn from me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. I am lowly of heart and gentle, and you will find rest. God is calling you. Why are you so dismayed and fighting yourself? Come to the Lord. Call out to him. Ask for help. Regardless of what is going on, call out to the Lord. It's not a sin to kneel down and cry to the Lord in your bedroom. Don't put on a brave face. Brave and fake face. Kneel down. Say, Lord, I am tired. I can't continue. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Cry out to the Lord. And hear the gentle Savior saying, fear not, for I am with you. I will help you. I will see you through. I will restore your soul. He restores my soul. If you don't allow him to restore your soul, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, anxiety leads to depression. That's what the verse says. If you accumulate anxiety and try to play clever yourself, try to show that you are strong, rather than take it to the Lord in prayer, that will lead to unintended consequences, irreversible consequences. You got to take it to the Lord in prayer, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You will just be struggling and fighting. You won't go anywhere. You're not stronger than the devil, you know, your enemies, the people at work, sometimes the family, etc. You won't be able to stand unless the gentle Savior intervenes. He said, come to me, all you who are tired, weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your soul. You see, he's the restorer of the soul. We're going to close our service and we're going to stand up. If you've heard these things and if you think you need the gentle Savior, if you reach that point where you say, Lord, unless you intervene, I don't see where I'm going with this. Save me, forgive me, deliver me, bless me, visit me, raise me up. If that's your prayer, then we're going to sing together, it is well with my soul. Stand up and sing from your heart as a prayer, please.